Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude.
At long last, the Coterie have been reunited. Iris relayed the story of her adventures to the group, who had plenty of questions. Ridley told her what they had been up to before objecting strongly to the idea of killing her stalker. And Everett was yanked into the morgue by the animated corpse of Dr. Skull, who's desperate to tell him story. What will happen with Dr. Skull, Iris's sire, and Ridley's phone call? Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
Carrying an Erdemeyer flask of blood, Iris, you step into the hall and find Walter Sims struggling to unlock a phone. As you've known from him, he's been around for a really long time, and it would seem that he, like some other, and I think you kind of had this idea in your head about Kindred after being turned by him, but has never really got the hang of technology. So he has the nicest possible iPhone, but is having the worst possible time unlocking it, and is just like doing that aggressively, if I tap it harder thing, maybe it will work. And you kind of don't have the heart to tell him that, like, part of the problem is just he's an old vampire and likely doesn't have any electricity in his fingers in order to operate it without rousing the blood. But anyway, you find him aggressively tapping that while holding the closest thing he could find to a decanter, or sorry, not to a decanter, to a tumbler glass of the blood. It's got a Montana's logo on it. So Montana's Steakhouse, which is a garbage chain of fake steakhouses up here in Canada. It was clearly a promotional glass and the only thing he could find. As you exit, he says, "Ah, yes, Iris. Hello." And he says, "Hang on, let me just put my phone away." Just like slides the clearly locked phone into his breast pocket. He raises the tumbler to you.
Hi, Walter. Cheers. Thank you for the lovely, lovely blood.
You're welcome. It's from an Olympian who cheated several times, brought great disgrace to his nation and to his teammates, but worked out a lot. So delicious. Iris, I don't know if your friends told me what I told them. However, I must say I am a little bit disappointed in how you've spent your time. I've received reports that you've been running around with these two causing all manner of disturbance. And of course, there was the supposed murder of Gordon Stevenson, and he does air quotes while still holding his glass, the quote, quote, academic. I understand you've been cleared of that, but nevertheless, it did concern me enough that I left the Windy City, Chicago, to come here to see what you were about.
Oh, Walter, you've been around long enough to know how much the media likes to spin a tale.
I do, Iris, but I also recall how prolific you were before joining us in the ranks of the Kindred, and I must say I'm rather disappointed in the lack of output from you. There have been no appearances, no new poems or works, no suggestion even that you're working on anything. And of course, I preserved you from the cancer that was threatening to eat away at your brain in order to protect that very art and keep it safe in the world. So I must ask, amongst all of the Kindred hijinks you're no doubt up to with your young coterie, as our kind are like to do when they first get their fangs, I must ask, where the fuck is your artistic output?
Well, Walter, it's been a bit of an adjustment and a change. You know, things just don't feel the same inspiration-wise as they did before. And you know that I'm forever grateful for this extra time, but I'm finding it hard to connect with what once gave me that spark, and I'm just trying to find it.
Okay. Miles, I need you to roll on this, but the interesting thing is I think you're telling a great lie because you're tapping the truth in order to tell said lie.
Yes.
Which gives you some advantage here. I'm inclined to say charisma or manipulation. And
I mean, I definitely think it's more charisma.
Okay. So you're trying to just
especially with him. He likes the charm, right?
Yep, so absolutely. And then I think probably etiquette or persuasion, one of those two. I think any of them can work. It just depends on how you're thinking about Iris delivering this.
Well, let's do persuasion. Okay. Sorry, counting.
Yep, no, I understand.
Okay.
We are a take your time in the math zone kind of company.
Yeah.
As Math Twitter knows all too well.
Math Twitter.
Four successes.
Okay. He kind of nods at that and he says, "Ah, yes, of course. Iris, you'll have to forgive me. It has been a long time since I was turned myself, and I often forget the disorientation, confusion, the fun I remember all too well, but the adjustment is of course a drastic one, particularly given the themes of mortality and that ran through your work previously. Of course, it's an adjustment to rethink these things. But I'm glad to hear you say that you are actively seeking ways to re-engage your creative muse. That's actually part of the reason I came to see you today. It occurs to me that in teaming you up with a coterie, I hoped you would cut your teeth, as it were, on our world a little bit. And it seems as though you have, which is wonderful. But well, I've come to inform you that it's time to begin the next phase of your journey. Now, I would never break up a coterie. That is, of course, not what we do. But I will need to borrow you for a time. You see, the Simms Foundation has founded, and I truly cannot believe I'm saying this, a television program in order to help find the next great poets. As you know, I have interest in ensuring that no creative lines end. And thus, you will be a guest judge on my show, The Next Sappho, a series that will be shot around the world. And we will require you to touch down in various places. And I will require you, of course, to help mentor these young artists. Eventually, we will relocate them all to Montreal, where you will be able to take a closer hand in them. There is a mentorship beyond the television program. However, I will need you to be rather public over the next little while. Your brand is beginning to suffer, and I can't help but think it has something to do with how much you've been doing with the two gentlemen in the other room. So the details will be sent to Emily, who I'm sure will convey them to you. But the good news is we're going on an international tour, my dear, and I'm sure you will find all manner of things that will inspire you.
Well, how can I say no to that?
You can't, and I'm glad you didn't. The filming does not begin for another couple of weeks, so there's no immediate urgency. But I did want to inform you so you can begin to wrap up any loose ends. It has been exceedingly difficult to ensure that these shoots do not occur during the day, but luckily I have a fairly vast network. The Simms Foundation is very excited, Iris, that you will become the new face of our initiatives here. Of course, eventually we will have to pretend you died, but right now everyone assumes that you are exactly the age you say you are. It's perfect. So I very much look forward to taking this journey with you and to finding all sorts of new people that I can add to my collection of patronages.
Whatever I can do to help.
Brilliant. You know, I was a little hesitant when Miss Rowling called me and asked me to allow... Oh, not that one. I guess you chuckling. No, it was Reagan, Mr. Fry's maker. When she called asking me to loan you to her little endeavor with Mr. Fry and Mr. Beef. But it would seem that it was all for the best. She's not thrilled that I'll be taking you off mission, but rest assured, I've already worked all of that out, so there shouldn't be too much resistance. In any case, I hope you have enjoyed your time with them. Just remember, you are greater than all of them. You are an artist, and your words will shape the world. I can't wait to hear what you come up with next. He raises his glass, drains it, and says, if you could take this back in with you, I do not want to risk this fine institution losing a Montagna's glass. And he hands it to you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for this. I'll alert Emily to be ready for your email, I guess.
Oh, electronic mail. Yes, I'll have one of my ghouls send that along. Until then, do take care, Iris, and please do wrap up any loose ends you have. The television awaits, and he makes his way down the hall.
Loose ends. Got it.
Meanwhile, Ridley, you've answered a phone call.
Hello?
Hey, is this this guy here? Am I talking to Ridley Beef?
I mean, who's asking?
Oh, come on. It's your old friend, Hugo. Hugo Bouchard.
All right, what do you need, Hugo? Also, I got some questions for you about what the fuck you did to Emily.
God, sacre mer. And he drops into French, as he does whenever he's frustrated. Just hear like,
Mary's blood. Listen, we've been trying to find you guys for some time. Where have you gone? You were very difficult to find. We tried to go to your bar and it was just smoke and ash.
Yeah, well, as you can imagine, with a building burned down, we had to go somewhere else.
Well, why the fuck did your building burn down? We've been trying to send you syrup. We've been trying to put you on all sorts of missions all around town.
Well, I mean, didn't you know they said the Inquisition, like, burned down after fucking city and tried to kill everyone? Yeah. So, spoiler alert, that's why we had a fucking fire.
Ah, okay. But that was a bit unpleasant. I do appreciate that you survived. The rest of your friends, they made it too?
Yeah, we're all doing great. So what are the jobs you need? What's going on?
There's been a lot. A lot of things are changing. There are a lot of enemies starting to take root here in Montreal. There's the fake Camarilla trying to put their talons into the city. Surely you've seen them.
Yeah, I mean, they seem pretty fucking legit compared to two guys in the woods.
And there's a lot of scoffing and swearing. And he just says, "It was it who helped you when you arrived here from your beloved Notre Nostra, huh? Who got you set up in town? Who got you connections? It was us. It was the Bouchards. Without our Empire of Syrup, I do not think you would have had any luck here in Montreal."
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not saying you didn't help. I'm just saying your empire seems somewhat less legitimate in the sense of the Camarilla than this giant group who shows up and everyone else says it's the Camarilla. I'm just trying to figure out the lay of the land, man.
Well, look, I took you as a man of your word. I took you as a man who values his friendships and who understands that perhaps the unofficial ways are better. You know, and if you cannot trust two men in the woods who send you messages in bottles of syrup, who can you trust?
I don't know. So what do you need? I'm listening. I don't know. Why the fuck is there a fake Camarilla? This feels like I'm very short on information and a lot of people are throwing things at me. So I'm fine with them being fake. Fuck them. I don't give a shit one way or the other.
That is good to hear.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you guys need? What's your plan to deal with the fake Camarilla?
Well, you know, I got to say, this is part of the reason I call you. We need our best friends, our allies. If we are going to make any kind of stand against the fake Camarilla before they take root, I'm happy to see the Sabbat is on their back feet. That is very good. But I am somewhat concerned about this new Camarilla. I will need your help, Ridley Beef.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I'm trying to kind of come out on top, but there's a couple of other parties who are starting to get involved here. So turns out that the Notre Nostra has some new cunt in charge here, who's Damien Black, who's determined to take over the Camarilla, and seems like he's in a fucking position to be able to pull it off. So sort of like, you know, there's a... If you see those Lord of the Rings movies, it's like a Sauron Saruman fucking thing going on right now.
Those and names I'm are very similar. That is very confusing.
I'm a fucking hobbit, and I don't like it because I'm a fucking murder hobbit, and I just want to fucking murder him.
You hear him kind of suck air through his teeth and says, that does sound like a good plan. You know, if they are fucking with your processes, this sounds worthwhile to me.
So do you have like some sort of fucking network that can help me find someone I'm looking for is somewhere in this fucking continent?
He kind of pauses and he says, I mean, we can make some inquiries here and there. Me and Guy, we know some people. Perhaps we can help.
All right. So I need somebody to find my fucking mum because she's got fucking taken and that gives a level of leverage that I do not care for. So I know she's out fucking... Or am I east? Where? I think west. If I'm looking north, she's to my fucking left. And I just, somewhere over there, around Alberta or something, and I just need a fucking flag on where my mum is, because then I can send people to fucking deal with this. But I need to know where the fuck she is before I can solve that problem, and then solve your problems too, with a fake Camarilla and a Notre Nostra fucking Saruman.
He says, that seems reasonable to me. I'll be very happy to look into that for you. Perhaps we can find your mom. That does suck. That is not, that's not a good way to do business. I hate that. We will find these motherfuckers. Yes.
That's great. That's great. I knew you'd appreciate the familial problem here. It's fucking bullshit.
Ridley, can you roll me a wits and awareness, please?
Yes.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror anthology Magenta Presents.
Or season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Hi there, I'm Tom McGee, and I love stories. And odds are, if you're listening to our shows, you do too. So, if you're wondering how you can help support our storytelling and world building and these wonderful characters and their sometimes ridiculous journeys, you can head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. There you'll find a variety of different levels and different perks, starting from as low as a dollar, which gets you into our Patreon-only Discord, where you can talk about the latest episodes, all the twists and turns, and just generally hang out with some truly lovely people. There's a whole variety of levels with everything from advanced episodes, ad-free feeds, to, of course, at our $25 level, getting to create your very own character who appears in some of our shows and sometimes becomes a long-running friend or foe of our characters. So, if you want to get involved, if you want to help us tell more of these stories, then head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. And help us create more of these fun adventures together.
Dumdums and Dice would like to welcome you to Curse, Code, and Crown, a live play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast featuring a fully original world and campaign. Curse, Code, and Crown features our regular voiceover artists and improvisers, Laura Elizabeth as Princess Gwendolyn, Tyler Hewitt as Maka Deathcap, and Ryan LaPlante as Duncan Kindano, alongside our Dungeon Master, the incredible Tom McGee. So get ready for an adventure including thrills, chills, and hope for a brighter tomorrow. It's time for Curse, Code, and Crown! Episodes are available now.
There's one success.
Okay. You hear him yelling something to Guy off phone. And he comes back and he says, good. Yes. Okay. Look, I'm glad I caught you. I'm glad to get some updates finally from you. We will be in touch soon. We will look into this business about your mother. Most importantly, we're just happy to have an open line of communication to you again. It has been hard for us with no proper way to reach you or their coterie. You are our agents here in Montreal. It has been very disappointing to not be able to reach you.
All right, so let me give you a few more burner numbers. He'll just rattle off a couple of burners that he's got in his new stack. And he's also, can you do me a favor? There's some fucking person who made me into a vampire, some lady who seems important or whatever. And they tell me that she's fucking dead. And I would love to know if Damian Black is some sort of splinter cell of the Notte Nostra, or if he actually did fucking ice everyone else, because there's a different approach that I'm going to have to take one way or the other. And you seem like the only line to whoever the fuck sent me here.
Yeah, sure. We can look into that for you. Yeah, we'll get right on that.
Okay, good. That'll give me some fucking context, and then I can get back to ripping people's fucking hearts out and eating them in the streets.
Who am I to stop you, huh? With that, he hangs up.
Overall, net gain, didn't really answer about Emily. I'm going to pretend I didn't answer the question. I didn't ask that question because I feel like I should have followed up, and I feel like Iris is going to be mad. But why am I talking to myself? I should just go to fucking sleep. I'm still, oh, look at my hands. It's getting its fucking skin back. Yeah, baby. Fuck yeah. And he's just going to head to bed like a weird psychopath.
Speaking of bed, Everett, you're sharing a little cozy container there with a rotting corpse who is very excited to see you.
What are you doing here?
Okay. So, look,
wait,
man,
before you get started, is this a conversation we can have outside of a container for dead bodies?
Look, I'm kind of worried about what your friends might do to me. I think one of them's, I think her, is it like her sister or her like butler, or I think she's the one who killed me, man. She's one of my patients. She went fucking ape shit. So like, I don't want to talk to her. She might kill me. And that other guy is just real scary. I kind of always thought he was just planning how to kill me. So you seem like the only one who can help.
What do you need? What is it, Dr. Skull? What?
Yeah. All right, cool. So listen, when the butler lady went crazy, she got all like feral and kind of wolfy. Yeah, all I remember was seeing her claws kind of come at my eyes, and then I remember agony, and then I was just kind of in this like weird place, and I was stuck in this weird like sort of like squishy sleeping bag thing, and this guy came and he cut it open, and he's like, "I'm a Reaper. You're welcome to this place." And I was like, "Fuck you, bud." Anyway, I kind of ran around there for a bit. It was kind of spooky. I kept thinking about how much I hadn't done, how many drugs there still were out there that I hadn't tried. EDM is really, it's on such a good path right now. And I just figured there would be tracks. You know, tracks that would be worth hearing that I hadn't heard yet, that I don't even know about yet, that I could get through Bandcamp.
Skull, I feel like we're kind of getting into the weeds here. Why are you here in this morgue talking to me?
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, the more I thought about those things, I just kind of found myself drifting. And then suddenly I was kind of, and he kind of like looks down at this naked rotting body. He's like, in this guy.
This ain't
the problem.
Your body?
No, man, come on. I don't look like this.
It's
you don't
dark
remember
and
what
we're
Dr.
inches
Skull
away from each other.
Yeah. And he's like, no. Like, I don't know. This is just some dude I found. Look, man, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I think my body's gone, man. I think I'm a fucking ghost. And they start shaking you like at point blank, being like, I'm a ghost.
I don't have like the space to like swing my arms properly. So I put my hands up and do like a little like wrist slap in the face, like snap out of it, Skull.
Sorry. It's been a lot. I mean, it's nice to be back, you know, up here, but, man, I'm in way over my head. I need your help. You used to be like a cop or something, right?
Or something.
Cool. Can you help me like solve my own murder or something? I don't know how this works. You're the only person I could think to come to. I've got some other friends up here, but I don't want them to see me like this. And he kind of like looks down at his like rotting naked body. And it is truly a gruesome sight. He's like, this isn't my dick, man. This isn't my dick.
All right, we're getting out. And I want to get out of this thing.
Great. So you clamber out. And he's like, oh, shit, no, fuck. You're getting out as Ridley gets in and Iris comes in through the door. And Dr. Skull just, like, reaches out and closes the door behind him. and hides back in the morgue box. Iris, you walk back in and find Everett just staring in horror behind him. Everett, would you be like dusting yourself off? I feel like you don't.
Yeah, I don't picking, want
picking
on me.
Flesh out of your teeth.
Everett, why did you get out of bed?
You okay, bud?
Sorry, buddy. You've just gone in, so you okay. Closed the door behind you. Yeah, Iris, go ahead.
You okay there, bud?
Yeah, I think so. This one's occupied.
Occupied?
Yeah, Dr. Skull is in there. He's a ghost, and he's in someone else's body. That's not his dick.
At this point, you could grab Ridley if you wanted, if you're not keeping it on the DL.
Yeah, I mean, I'll knock on his container, on his little door.
Iris, how do you respond to the not his dick comment?
Men, first thoughts about their dick.
I agree.
Ridley.
Ridley just swing open his door and pull himself enough out that his head is poking out, but the rest of it is still in there. He's like, oh, what's up?
You're not going to believe this. Well, actually, you are, because we agreed that we just assume all the fucking spooky universal monsters are real. Dr. Skull is a ghost, and he's possessed one of the corpses in the morgue.
Okay, what does he want?
He wants us to solve his murder.
Well, does he know that Emily did it?
He literally described it, so I don't know what more he wants us to do for him. He gave me a first-person experience of watching her claws tear his head open.
Okay, well...
Then he said someone who called themselves the Reaper cut him out of a body bag and then kind of glossed over that incredible revelation and talked to me about fucking music.
All right, well, is he still
or in drugs? I don't know what EDM stands for. I don't know.
It's electronic dance music. So is he still in the fucking hole?
As far as I know, I don't know if as a ghost he could just fuck off out of that body.
Well, I think maybe you should go back into the hole and ask the questions that you're thinking about, which is like, what does he need solved if he knows Emily murdered him? And then what's up with this Reaper?
He didn't want to speak to you two, which maybe I thought you might want to know.
Okay, maybe he just wants you to cover up his not dick.
What if we go outside and you climb back in the dark hole with him and you finish your little chat and then you can come back out, close the door, and we'll come in and talk?
This seems needlessly complicated. I don't know why we need to honor his wish of not being in the same room as you two.
Well, because you said that he could just fuck off out of the body like a ghost and disappear, so we can't spook him.
I don't know that for certain. I'm just guessing, because fuck, anything's on the table.
Well, I mean, he's a ghost, so they can go into bodies and then they can woo out into the fucking distance. So I think
that's fucking useful.
Yeah. If it weren't for the old being dead thing, I'd say one of us should do it just for tactical necessity.
All right.
Can vampires turn into ghosts?
I don't know. I feel like Iris and Ridley leave the room trying to figure out what other vampire myths may be true. Sure.
I open the container again.
Oh, you're back. All right, cool. So
I'm not coming in there. You can talk to me from in there if you want.
Okay, yeah. So, like, based on movies and stuff I've seen, I feel like, you know, to cross over or whatever, I need to, like, solve something. But, like, I know who killed me, so that's weird. Also, the guy who cut me out of the bag, he kept talking about it's called a fetter. It's something that's keeping me here in the world. So maybe it's that. I don't know, man. I'm real confused and scared and sober, and I hate all three equally.
So if I understand correctly, the person who cut you out of what I believe you were describing as a body bag referred to themselves as a Reaper or the Reaper, because that's maybe a key distinction here.
Oh, yeah, they were a Reaper. Right. I feel like he might have just been like Hell's Garbage Man or something. I don't know. He seemed pretty bored with the whole thing. I asked him some questions and he just said, you'll figure it out. And then I kind of wandered the underworld for a bit, talking to other wraiths.
Fuck.
Yeah, man. It's a whole thing, apparently. I just figured, you know, you're like a kind of guy, so you might know what's up.
I don't.
Shit.
Ask literally anyone. I do not know what's going on half the time. So are you asking for our help in, excuse me, Ridley or Everett went away for a second there. Sorry. Let me get this straight. Are you asking for our help in finding this fetter of yours? Is that right?
I mean, maybe, man. I don't know. I kind of like it up here more than I do in like the shadow, you know, down there in the I think they call it the shadow world. Yeah,
Dr.
I don't like that place.
Skull.
Yeah.
Why are you here in this morgue speaking to me?
You are the only one I could think to go to. I can't go to my buds because they're going to be like, oh, you're back, but we mourned you. And like, I don't know, I've got some pretty special people in my life and I didn't want to scare them by being a fucking weird, gross corpse. You got to help me, man. Your
help
friend's
you
friend killed
what?
Me. I don't know. I died and now I'm in a corpse. I have a strange dick and I'm rotting. And I think you ate half my hand by accident. And dude, I'm just trying to figure it all out, man. It's scary down there and it's scary up here. So like maybe just help a brother out and like help me figure out this ghost thing. Maybe I can just live up here and help or something and eventually go tell my friends what happened. But the Shadowlands are scary. So I'm hanging out up here for now. You know what? Fuck it. I live here now. And then he just like closes the door.
To no one. Everett says like, I feel like I didn't learn anything. I feel
just hear knock, knock, knock on the door.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he back in his hole?
He is.
Okay. So just kind of enters the room and walks in. So like, what did we learn?
Fucking nothing. And Everett will like slam his like thing shut, go to sleep.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've got some ideas and he'll just turn to Iris and be like, so we've got him in a body. Mm. If he could do this, we got a creepy clock man has wanted Dr. Skull back.
Right.
If we could give him Dr. Skull inside a corpse and be like, okay, there was an accident. It's the fault of a shitty wizard. But we wanted to return Dr. Skull to you. So we sorted this out. Here's a ghost in a corpse. If you could give him more corpses, you still get Dr. Skull. It feels like we might be making amends.
Yeah, but like, can we not kind of use a ghost wraith buddy who can like possess other bodies and get information and infiltrate places more than we can?
I mean, I do like that idea, but then again, he is Dr. Skull.
Yeah, but he's ghost Dr. Skull, so he's not like psycho and drugged up.
Okay, so what if we use him for this orphan thing, and then at the end we can give him to Clockman as like a thank you if he's shit, or if he's great, then we can like maybe make him hang around and try to figure
yeah,
out how
I think we should see if we can like use him to possess people, and then if he's completely useless, then just yeah, give him to Clockman.
Because I mean, if you bring an orphan out or something, and then we drain him in an alley, we could just pop him into the orphan, and then just send a corpse in to go scout.
Yeah,
fucking brilliant! I've missed you.
I'll be back.
With that, the three of you tuck in for the day.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's logos are by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by High Angle, and all our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, that's J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We've also got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon of Darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Great Dane, Acrix, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.